Y'all ready for him?
Amen.
Hey, as they mentioned earlier, we were in a little accident yesterday. Yesterday? As you can tell, the accident still has not improved my vocabulary and pronunciations. So, we were in an accident yesterday. Nobody got hurt. Amen. But it's a good thing we were ready. If we would have. You can go through life with a lot less stress and a lot more happiness because you know the Lord. Amen. Because you know that no matter what happens, you're winning that day. That no matter what happens, the devil don't have control on you. Amen. If you know Jesus, you can go through every day with joy. That if it's your last, because what's the Bible tell us? Nobody knows. Only God knows when our last day is. But we can, if we know Him, we can go through the day with the happiness of knowing that and the joy. If it does happen to be our last, guess where we're waking up? In heaven. Amen. For eternity.
Yeah.
Not just for the weekend. Not just for the afternoon. But forever. Amen. I'm glad I know the Lord. That wreck was a whole lot easier to handle by doing that. Because a lot of times what happens? When you wreck, there's some Christians that are still like this. What happens when you wreck? First thought goes through your mind. Can't believe my vehicle got tore up. Man, ain't nobody worried about that vehicle. Worry about you. What about the other people involved in the wreck?
Amen.
When you know Jesus, you should have the happiness that guess what? That vehicle ain't going nowhere after you leave. It's stuck here on earth. But we got an eternity in heaven. We got to look at everything we do that way. If we're in a wreck, it's okay. Stay calm. I know that's hard. Hey, I know that's hard. Especially for some people. Some people don't have a calm bone in their body. Amen? And they freak out at everything. But when you know Jesus, let the calmness of Him take over. Let the gentleness of His love, mercy, and grace take over for you. And don't, if you get hit by somebody else like we do, don't be a nutcase like 99.9% of the people are and go over to the other person and, I can't believe you ran into me. I can't believe you hit me. Go and show them some love. Show them some Jesus through all that. Amen. No, I didn't go over there and act like that. I walked over and texted her. I was like, oh my gosh, I hope she's okay. Are you all right? Are you okay? No yelling, no cross words, no meanness in the tone. Just Jesus through my voice. Just to check on her. Make sure she was okay.
Amen.
Because all of our cars can be replaced.
Amen.
But our souls can't.
True.
We either spend it in heaven, we spend it in hell. Amen. What do y'all know today? What do y'all at home know? Do you have Jesus in you that you can be calm in the middle of the storm? Or do you have Satan running around in there in chaos and confusion? Amen. Hey, we are in week 2. What happened? There was a, I thought there was a Colossians screen up there.
You have your light on now. You have to pretend.
There should be.
Light up
there. Should be. Up. Hey. Online, you might not be able to see me right now, but you can hear me. I'm not Jesus. I'm not God. I'm just out of your screen. No, it's all higher up.
The power is it's not the projector.
Oh, yeah. All right, I'm coming back in the screen. Should be back there. Hey, anyway, we're in Colossians. Everybody like the book of Colossians?
Yes.
Y'all remember last week we were in chapter 2, right?
Yep.
This week we're going to be in chapter 1. We're going back in time. Kind of like it did in the 1980s in a movie. We'll get into that somewhere down in the future. Y'all know who Michael J. Fox is, right? Back in time. Hey, exactly. Anybody at home knows that where the movie Michael J. Fox started in the Michael J. Fox movie? Aye. I give up. Y'all just come along for the ride with me here like I am today. Amen. But the title this week is Do Not Give In to Peer Pressure. Do not give in to peer pressure. And our scripture is going to be from Colossians 1, verses 1 through 14. We'll get to that here in a minute. But I got a question for you. Can you remember one time that stands out that you gave in to peer pressure? Can you remember one time that stands out in your lives here at home that you gave in to peer pressure? It might have been something small. It might have been something big. It might have been just, hey, everybody's smoking a cigarette. Maybe you thought you'd fit in by smoking a cigarette. It might have been, oh, look, everybody's taking a drink of alcohol. You thought you might fit in. You gave in to peer pressure. All right, I'll take that one little drink. It might be something big. It might be stealing money. Hey, all your friends are doing it, telling you, hey, we got this thing we can do. You steal it from your job, nobody will ever know. A lot of people give in to peer pressure like that, don't they? Because they got need, the financial need in their lives. Peer pressure can be big, can be small. Amen. I'll tell you a little story. Y'all like my stories about myself, right?
Yeah.
Last week y'all found out what? I spent what?
Jail time.
Jailbird pastor. Woo! Hey, guess what? This week y'all gonna find out about my peer pressure. What? Hey, guess what? Even pastors have peer pressure. Even pastors have peer pressure. Now mine came from before, long before I got in church, long before I got saved. But it kind of runs into with the jail thing, sort of. I didn't go to jail for this one, but everybody's in school. Your classmates can be a big influence on you, can't they? You want to hang out with them? You want to be nice? You want to get invited to their parties at their really nice homes and hang out and everything? But how do you get into that crowd? How do you get into it? They say, oh, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. Everybody else is doing it. All of us in the group's doing it. Amen. Peer pressure. They peer you into it. And to fit it in. Because we all want to fit in somewhere, don't we? Amen. I'm glad now the peer pressure I get is from Jesus. And God himself. The peer pressure that I hear now. That I'm willing to listen to it. Let it mold my life. But back in high school, yeah, some people have heard this story right here. Back in high school, I was on the basketball team. And we were all running around the town. Yeah, yes, the little town, the big, giant, enormous town of Golly Bridge, West Virginia, population 4. Running around. Had the rest of the basketball team hanging out, running down Go-Mart. Y'all have heard of Go-Mart, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I am old enough there was still Go-Mart back when I was in high school in Golly Bridge. The rest of the basketball team that I'm hanging out with there is all doing what they think is cool stuff. They're still little snack cakes, little drinks, little alcohol beverages from Go-Mart. They're thinking, oh, this is the cool thing to do. None of us are getting caught. So everybody can hang out with us. Everybody can have fun. Peer pressure. Hey, won't you come in Go-Mart with us? Won't you let us use your duffel bag? apparently, hey, and they're at home. If you're out with your friends,
don't take your nut away.
Because apparently, I was the only idiot at that time that brought a duffel bag. So, we get in there. Before we go in, everybody's stuffing stuff in my duffel bag. One of my buddies on the high school team had a bag of substance. We'll say. Everybody heard, seen green leafy substances.
Yeah.
We'll say, look like buckeye leaves, but aren't. Yeah. What? Yeah, I'll just say it. He had some pot on him. He had some marijuana. Some Mary Jane for some people. Some weed for others. No, your pastor never smoked that stuff. However, he did let himself get peer pressure into putting it in my duffel bag. Yeah. Y'all know where that's going, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we go in the store. Everybody's stuffing stuff in my duffel bag. They've probably done this for like 3 weeks now. And I hadn't been involved in any of that side of it until then. And of course, when it's in my duffel bag, and all the stuff that they confiscated off the shelves, and the baggage of greenage that was in there. Of course, that's the day they get caught. Or should I say, we get caught. I got caught. Hey, I'm going to tell y'all, my mom still today thinks it's mine. Just say, Granny, wait. Granny, it's not mine. I've told her all along, it's not mine. I don't think she believes me. So, you get peer pressure, they catch you, they take you to the principal. Luckily, they didn't turn us into the police.
Yeah.
They took us to the principal. We didn't get that lucky. And the principal's like, what are you guys thinking? And a couple of them, they may have had some problems with in school. The rest of us had never been an issue in anything. But we let peer pressure get us caught up in something that could have put us in jail. Could have given us a record. Yes, I told y'all pastors had experiences in the past. He just don't normally share them. Because we're crazy stuff like that could really be bad. But have you let peer pressure get to you that way? Have you let people influence you? Doing something that you know is not right. Before you were a Christian. After you were a Christian. Have you let your Christian, so-called Christian friends peer pressure you into doing something you knew wasn't really in line with God's word? Wasn't really in tune with what Jesus tells us. We all come to that crossroad, don't we? We all come to that going, hey, wait a minute, should I be doing that? If I would have listened to myself back in high school, yeah, I probably wouldn't have took my duffel bag. Definitely wouldn't let them stuff everything in it. And definitely not the green stuff that was in the bag. But we can look back on that, can't we? We can look back on that and say, man, that was messed up. That was wrong. Shouldn't have done that. I allowed somebody else to influence me. I allowed another person to influence me. Hey, if you're still allowing people to influence you, if you're a Christian, there's an altar up here. Because you got a problem. Because your Christianity, if you're allowing other people to influence you, it's not in Christ. It's in the other people. Amen? We got to get to know Jesus. We got to let Him tell us, hey, how should we react? What should we do with peer pressure? The only peer pressure that you should be giving into is one that is in line with the Bible. One that is in line with the true Word of God. Amen? So we're going to get into the message. Did y'all like that long, short story intro?
Yeah.
that's the way peer pressure works. We know something's not right, but it's the going thing. It's the end thing. It's the, y'all heard this one, right? It's the cool kid thing to do. Hey, even as adults, we can call ourselves cool kids. Amen? We might be the only ones that think that, but hey. But that's what happened with peer pressure. It's the cool kids. It's a cool thing to do. I might lose my cool credentials if I don't do it. But it's the going thing, the end thing. Against our better judgment and our internal watchdog, which is the Holy Spirit, amen, we give in. We let up and give in. And trouble and grief and problems always follow close behind us. Amen. We're moving into week 2 in our sermon series on the book of Colossians. If you're here last week, or online with us last week, maybe you remember some of the things that the Colossian church faced. There was pressure from outside forces wanting them to change who they were and what they believed. And there was pressure from the inside too. There were just a few irrational decisions from leaving the path that they started out on. There were just a few giving in situations away from departing from faith and the beliefs that define a Christian church. But the Apostle Paul knew this. Paul knew the pressures that the church faced at that time. Guess what? That's the same pressures we still face. Amen? Paul knew the church was surrounded by a society that went against all that they believed. Our church is still surrounded by a society and a world that goes against what we believe. Amen? The church was constantly under pressure to change. Ooh, their message. How many of y'all know that pastors all across the country, through our denomination, non-denomination, Southern Baptist, Other Baptist, No Baptist, they're all being coerced to change some, to change the message. Amen? Not necessarily what the true Word of God says, but what society says now that the Word of God says. I don't mean to tell y'all, I don't mean to make y'all mad, but the Bible is the one that has the true message. If society or any pastor in the pulpit is telling you some fluff over and above that message, guess what? That message is wrong. They're wanting you to change the message. They felt the pressure to compromise. Inspired and led by God, Paul wrote the Colossians church a letter to encourage them to stay the course, to hang on that line, to stay in line. Amen? To stay in the race. Amen? To stay in the Christian race. God also knew other churches in the future. Hey, other churches in the future. Back to the future. Hey, Michael J. Fox movie. See, I told you we'd get back to that. Paul also had a back to the future moment. Because he knew what we would face would be the same that the Colossian church faced. He had the American church of our century in mind when it led Paul to write Colossians. Because we are surrounded today by a society that for the most part goes against everything that we believe. We feel the pressure from the outside to water down our message. Just get the good stuff. Amen? Just get the good stuff. Don't tell them about the bad stuff. Don't tell them about Satan. Don't tell them about hell. Just get the top level good stuff. That's not what God wanted. If it ain't in the Bible, it would have been okay. But guess what? Satan and hell's in the Bible. So we got to preach the bad stuff as well as the good stuff. Amen? We feel the pressure, again, from the outside to water down our message. We feel the pressure to give up a little bit to stay relevant. give up a little bit of what we're dealing with, the way we're acting, to stay relevant. Guess what? God's word, true word, not change message, is still relevant today as it was back then. And it's still the truth today. Amen? We know the pressure to compromise. So the letter to the Colossians is as much to us today as it was to the Colossians almost 2,000 years ago. So let's get into today's message. Everybody says, praise God.
Praise God.
God has sent us for the book of Colossians. And we're going to start at the very beginning of Colossians. Again, verses 1, or chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Still don't have them up. I have the NIV version. Colossians 1, 1 through 14 says this. Paul, an apostle to Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people, to Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all of God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way that the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout this whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood. God's grace, you learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continue to ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of Lord Jesus and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in good work, in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in His inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has secured us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Praise the Lord. We got forgiveness through Jesus Christ from God. Amen. For all of our sins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your scripture today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the message that you've given me today, Lord. Lord, as always, I ask you to get Ronnie out of the way, Lord, and allow your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Lord. Lord, may it be your word spoken and not mine, Lord. Lord, may we open our heart, mind, and soul to the message that you have for us today, Lord. We thank you for each and everything you do for us today, Lord. Lord, we ask you to be with us through the rest of the service. In your name I pray. Everybody say it.
Amen.
Amen. Now remember, Paul's writing to a church pressed by pressure all around. It's in these 14 verses that Paul focuses on the quality the Colossian church had from the beginning. And it was the same qualities that would help the Colossian church resist the pressures that they were feeling from society in those days. These qualities that they had are the same qualities that we should have today as a 21st century church. Amen? That needs to resist the immense pressure that we feel today to water down, to compromise. These three qualities that we see here, three qualities to resist the pressure of the world.
The first quality that the Colossian church had was its focus on the gospel. Its focus on the true gospel. Not a watered down version, amen, but the full God-born version of the gospel. Paul himself had never been close to close. When he knew about the church and the pressure they received, or what he knew, came by word of mouth. He had never personally visited them. Amen? His young friend Epaphras was probably the main source for the information and the news that Paul had heard about Colossae. And in that first few verses, Paul tells him what he had heard, what he had been told. Amen? He had heard of their faith in Jesus. He knew that they trusted in Jesus. He knew they were solidly saved and believers. Are you still solidly saved today? Are you as solid as the day you were when you met Jesus, when you got saved? You still have that strong belief? He heard that their church had it. He had heard of their love for all Christians. Not just themselves, but for all Christians. Amen? A sure sign of Jesus being real in our lives is loving our other Christians. Paul heard they loved all the Christians. Amen? These people were solid in their faith and love. And it all came from their focus and their trust in the gospel. Amen? The gospel is what? Somebody tell me, the gospel is good news. The gospel is good news. Somebody at home type, gospel is good news. Or just good news will work too. It's the good news of Jesus. Amen. His death, burial, and resurrection. Not just part of it that some of the watered down believers try to live in, but all of it. His death, burial, and resurrection. That's what empowered him. That's what empowered the church back then. I hope it's still what empowers our church today. Amen? And it's what would keep them focused and immune to drift and compromise. The church today has to maintain our focus on the gospel. Society today will say we're fools. Amen? Society today will say that Christians are fools to believe in some supernatural God. How can you think some man who lived 2,000 years ago can still influence you today? With all we know today, how can you really believe somebody actually came back from the dead? That's the questions that society will throw at it, ain't it? Just stick to the love everybody thing. Jesus, stick to the good ideals that Christianity has developed over the centuries. We like justice and the equality aspect of it, don't we? Just don't bring the supernatural stuff into our conversation. That's what the world and society tells us today. Don't bring the supernatural stuff into the conversation. That stuff puts you at the fingers or the fringes of society. But we need to remember this. The gospel. Everybody say the gospel?
The gospel.
Everybody at home type the gospel in the comments. The gospel is Christianity. Amen? The gospel is not religion. The gospel is Christianity. There really was this dude named Jesus.
Amen.
That walked on the earth 2,000 and some years ago. He really existed. Amen? He really did set the standard for the right life, the way to live. He really did allow himself to be nailed to the cross by his creation. That's us, guys. Amen? He allowed himself to be nailed to the cross by us. Amen? There really is sin that needs to be atoned for. Hey, a lot of the puffed up gospels now, you're all right. It's all right. It's okay. Jesus, you know he's there. You don't have to worry about that other side. That's bullcrap. Amen. Every one of us, saved or unsaved, has sins that we need or needed to atone for. Amen. He really did come back to life 3 days later. Nobody took him and buried him somewhere else. Nobody took him and burned his body. Amen. They couldn't find him in the tomb because he wasn't there.
Amen.
Amen. He really came back to life 3 days later. And guess what? Because of that, he really does live today. He's as alive today as he was 2,000 years ago. And he not only saves us, but he holds us accountable. Amen. He holds us accountable for the way we live and the way we act. There really is an eternal separation from God by those who refuse to trust solely and completely in Him. The society, the social world that tells you we're wrong, we're fools, they're separated from Him right now. Amen? And if they die today, they're going to have an eternal separation because they're not going to have the opportunity to truly know Him and truly meet Him like some of us have. Amen? There is no room for compromise with the gospel. Either Jesus is who He is, who He says He is, or He's not. Either Jesus did what He said He would do, or He didn't. There is no compromise. There is no middle ground. Amen? We can't lose our focus on the gospel. We can't give any quarter to those who might want to change that focus that we have. Jesus is the only hope that this world has. When we give that up, when you give up Jesus, there is no hope. Amen? To resist compromise with society, we have to stand centered and focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no compromise. It's either heaven or hell. Amen? It's either God or Satan. Second quality of the Colossian church was their pursuit of God's will. Paul prayed for them to know God's will. I pray that we're still searching God's will for God's will today. Amen? He prayed that their knowledge of truth and love will continue to come from God and not some man in the world. He prayed that they would have an intimate personal relationship with the Lord. Again, not just knowing who He is, but having a relationship with Him. Amen? He prayed that they would continue to follow God, the Holy Spirit. That they wanted to know God's will and direction. They wanted to be right in the center of what God was doing in the city of Colossae. And they wanted to be the ones exerting the pressures to change. They wanted to be the peer pressure pushers rather than the ones that were being pressured into doing something else. Amen? The church of the 21st century, that's today, needs to focus on God's will and purpose for each one of us. And to do that, we need to know God better than we do. Amen? How many of y'all know you need to know God better than you do right now? I know I need to know Him better. Amen? Those that are watching at home, give me a thumbs up if you know you need to know God better right now than what we do. We need to make Him and His will our priority, our primary pursuit and goal in life. We need to pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's one of the things that we pray at the revival meetings. The fire of the Holy Spirit. The guidance of the Holy Spirit. Amen? To spark revival in each one of us. We need to pray that daily. Some of us forget about it. Some of us let it go until we have a special need in our lives. But we need to pray for that every day. Pray that the Holy Spirit is working in us, growing us every day. Amen? Our pursuit of God's will take us into His Word, into a deepening and more meaningful understanding, into deeper relationships within the church, within us, our brothers and sisters, into an examination of every circumstance in our lives against the Word of God. Hey, I'm not going to sit up here and tell you I'm better than everybody else. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you I'm high and mighty and don't struggle. Hey, I have times when what I'm doing don't line up with the Word, that I may not spend enough time in the Word. We all do that, don't we? But we got to get to the point that we're willing to just say, 24/7, I'm yours. Take me, 365, I'm yours. The rest of the days in my life, I'm yours. I'm looking for your Holy Spirit guidance every day. And then when them circumstances pop up in our lives, we can be like, hey, but that's okay. Because we're all human on that side. We got to resist pressure, of society, to compromise the Word of God and the Gospel. We have to chase after God, amen, and not the world. The third quality of the Colossian church was the life that they lived. Paul prayed that they would continue to live a worthy life. He prayed that they would focus on good work, that they would continue to do good, even in a society that had a perverted view of good. We got a society like that today, don't we? Amen. I pray that we're looking to do good and be good in that society. That they would do the good Jesus called them to do. Not let the world talk them out of them. Not let society talk them out of what God called them to do. But he prayed that they would do what God called them to do. How many of y'all have let the world talk you out of what God's called you to do? What he's originally telling you to do. And continues to tell you to do. Hey, I have problems with that every once in a while. Because sometimes what God's telling us to do, guess what? It scares us, don't it? It's like, whoa. I didn't see that in my job description when I got saved. Hey, guess what? If it's in the Bible, and it's God's Word, and His Spirit's telling you, He can change your job description of when you got saved. Amen? He prayed, though, that they would continue to live according to what they knew about God. And that they would live according to what they had already experienced God doing in them. There's no time in all of history that needs people living a godly life more than what we do today. Amen? We truly need to be showing people a godly life today. Amen? No one seems to really know what's good anymore. The world tells you something totally different and contrary to what the Word of God says, to what the Bible says. Amen? If they change it a little bit, guess what? It's not the Gospel. Amen? If it's contrary, no matter what it is, what subject it is, what matter it is, what issue it is, what sin it is, if it's contrary to what's in the Word, in the Bible, guess what? It's wrong. It's not God. It's man telling you. Amen? Good changes according to who you talk to and what mood they're in. As a church of Jesus Christ, we're called to live godly. Amen? And good lives. Not because it causes God to love us anymore. We live godly lives because we love God more. Amen? By loving God more, what's that allow us to do? Love people more. Amen? Love our family more, our brothers and sisters more, our church more, our neighbors more. Hey, I'm telling you, if you don't love God more, you ain't going to be able to love your neighbor. You ain't going to know what that type of love is. Amen? The world needs examples. It needs Jesus' examples. Will you be God's example today? Amen. To encourage the Colossian church to hold on to these qualities, Paul told them to remember and to thank God for what He had already done. Remember what Jesus has done for us. Amen. Remember where you were and where you are now since you met Jesus. And thank God for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad God put me in the position that I am. Because it's hard to tell where I would have been if I didn't come to know Him and start walking in a Christian life. Amen. The world would have thrown me to the side a long time ago. So would have Satan. Because he's a liar. Amen. One way to stand firm under pressure is remember again what God's already done. He didn't do it by the standards of society. He did it out of His love for us. Amen. He rescued you from darkness. He brought you into the light. He redeemed you. He forgave you. Are you feeling any peer pressure from society today? Are you feeling a little bit of them wanting you to just make little changes, little exceptions to God's word, God's rule, God's love, God's walk, and the gospel? Are you on the edge of backing down? Are they forcing you into that place where some people may have came at a grocery convenience store and said, "All right, I'm tired of getting beat down by these guys. We'll give in to them. It's a lot easier." Well, guess what? It ain't no easier. Because if you give in to what society wants you to change, you're out of the will of God. Amen? And you might be losing a little bit of part of it. You got to focus on the gospel that saved you, not on what society tells you it looks like. Amen? We got to pursue God's will. We got to keep living the life that God has called us to. Remember what God has already done. And when society's pressures come, say, "Not today, Satan. Not today." Amen. As Bruce comes for a final song, I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for all You do for us, Lord. Lord, we thank You for Your message today, Lord. Lord, I thank You for getting me out of the way today, Lord, and allowing Your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Lord, for Your words and not mine, Lord. Lord, I ask You today to put upon each one of our hearts, Lord, Lord, that You would gird and protect us, Lord, against society's pressures, Lord, the devil's peer pressures, Lord. Lord, when they tell us that we're just fools, Lord, we laugh at them like fools and tell them how foolish they truly are sounding right now, Lord, and how foolish they're headed if they don't change and meet You and have that relationship that we do with You, Lord. Lord, we ask You, if any of us here or at home today are battling some peer pressures right now, Lord, Lord, we ask that You go to each one of them, Lord, each one of us, Lord. Lord, impress upon our hearts that the true way to get out of those pressures, Lord, is truly Your word, Your mercy, Your grace, Lord, Your gospel, Lord, not what society's telling us, Jesus. Lord, as always, I ask that You put somebody in our heart this week, Lord. Lord, that we can meet with, Lord, to tell about that true gospel that You have for us, Jesus, Lord. Lord, we love You today. In Your name I pray.